يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ
Believers, seek help in patience and in prayer. Allah is with the patient ones. Believers, since the Ummah has been invested with world leadership, a set of necessary directives is now provided for its guidance. Before laying down these directives, it seemed necessary to caution the Muslims that the office which had been conferred on them was indeed no bed of roses. On the contrary, it was a great and perilous responsibility. Once they undertook it, they would be subjected to all kinds of afflictions, put to all kinds of trials and tribulations, and made to bear all kinds of deprivation. If, however, the Muslims persisted along the path of God, despite the perils, they would be rewarded with God's favor in full measure. Allah is with the patient ones. To acquire the strength that is needed to bear this heavy burden of responsibility, the believers should do two things. They should develop patience, and they should strengthen themselves by devoting themselves to prayer. Later, we shall encounter elaborations which will show that patience is a word embracing a whole set of moral virtues of the utmost importance. Patience is indeed an indispensable key to success. Likewise, we shall later have occasion to note in some detail how prayer prepares the Muslims, both as individuals and as a collective body, to carry out their mission.
وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ
And do not say of those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are dead. They are alive, even though you have no knowledge of their life.
They are alive, even though you have no knowledge of their life.
The word death, as well as its general concept, has a depressing effect. People have therefore been instructed not to refer to martyrs who laid down their lives for God as dead, since this might lead to the dissipation of the spirit which enables people to struggle and make sacrifices in God's cause. Instead, people have been instructed to bear in mind that anyone who lays down his life for God has in fact attained immortality. As well as being a statement of fact, this also helps to arouse and sustain courage.
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ
We shall certainly test you by afflicting fear, hunger, loss of properties and lives, and fruits upon you. Give glad tidings then to those who remain patient.
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون
And when an affliction smites them, they say, Verily, to Allah do we belong, and it is to Him that we are destined to return. And it is to Him that we are destined to return. Saying does not signify the mere making of a statement. It means a statement which is accompanied by a deep conviction in one's heart. To Allah do we belong. This being so, a man is bound to think that whatever has been sacrificed for God has in fact attained its legitimate end, for it has been spent in the way of the one to whom all things truly belong. And it is to him that we are destined to return, refers to the fact that man will not stay forever in this world and will return sooner or later to God. And if man is indeed destined to return to God, why should he not return to him having spent his all, having staked his life for his sake? This alternative is preferable to the pursuit of self-aggrandizement and then meeting death either by sickness or accident.
أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون.
Upon them will be the blessings and mercy of their Lord, and it is they who are rightly guided.
إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم.
Surely, Al-Safa and Al-Marwa are the symbols of Allah. Hence, whoever performs Hajj, full pilgrimage to the house of Allah, or makes Umrah, minor pilgrimage, will find that it is no sin for him to ambulate between the two. And whoever does a good work voluntarily should know that Allah is appreciative, all-knowing. Hence, whoever performs Hajj, full pilgrimage, the pilgrimage to the Kaaba, along with a set of other rites on certain fixed dates of Zulhijjah, is known as Hajj. Pilgrimage at other times is known as Umrah. Will find it is no sin for him to ambulate between the two. Safa and Marwa are the names of two hillocks near the Holy Mosque in Mecca. To run between these two hillocks was among the rites which God had taught Abraham in connection with Hajj. Later, when pagan ignorance prevailed in Mecca and the neighboring regions, altars were built for Isaf at Safa and for Na'ila at Marwa, and people began to circumambulate them. After advent of the Prophet, when the light of Islam had spread to the people of Arabia, Muslims came to doubt whether running between Safa and Marwa was one of the original rites of pilgrimage or was merely an invidious religious innovation of the age of ignorance. If it was in fact such, they feared they might be committing an act of polytheism. Moreover, we learn from a tradition transmitted from Aisha that even in pre-Islamic times, the people of Medina were not favorably disposed to this practice. Although they believed in Al-Manat, they did not believe in Isaf and Na'ila. For these reasons, it was necessary at that time of the change of the Qibla to dispel popular misconceptions about this rite. It seemed necessary to tell people that running between these two hillocks was part of the original rites of pilgrimage, and that the sanctity of Safa and Marwa, far from being an invidious innovation of the people of the age of ignorance, stemmed from the revealed law of God. And whoever does a good work voluntarily, it is best that one should perform this ritual obligation with wholehearted devotion. But if devotion is lacking, one is not thereby exempt from fulfilling one's obligation. One must perform this ritual if only out of a sense of duty.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ.
Those who conceal anything of the clear teachings and true guidance which we have sent down, even though we have made them clear in our book, Allah curses such people, and so do all who curse. Allah curses such people, and so do all who curse. The biggest failure of the Jews was that they kept the teachings contained in the Book of God confined to a limited class of people, the rabbis and professional theologians, instead of spreading them. They did not allow this knowledge to filter through even to the Jewish masses, let alone the non-Jewish peoples of the world. Later, when errors and corruption spread among them owing to widespread ignorance, the Jewish theologians made no serious effort to root them out. Moreover, in order to maintain their hold on the Jewish masses, they lent their tacit approval to every corrupting deviation from the true faith that gained currency. The Muslims are being admonished to refrain from this kind of behavior. The nation which has been charged with the guidance of the entire world is duty-bound to do its utmost to radiate true guidance rather than keep it under lock and key as a miser hoards his money.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ
Those who repent and make amends and openly declare what they had concealed, such shall I pardon, for I am much relenting, most compassionate.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ
As for those who disbelieved and died disbelieving, surely the curse of Allah and of the angels and of all men is on them. As for those who disbelieved, the original meaning of kufr is to conceal. This lent the word a nuance of denial, and it began to be used as an antonym of iman. Iman means to believe, to accept, and to recognize. Kufr, on the contrary, denotes refusal to believe, to deny, to reject. According to the Quran, there are several possible forms of disbelief. One is to refuse either to believe in the existence of God, to acknowledge His sovereignty, to recognize Him as the only Lord of the universe and of mankind, or to recognize Him as the only Lord and the only object of worship and adoration. The second form of disbelief is when a man recognizes the existence of God but still refuses to accept His ordinances and directives as the only source of true guidance and as the true law for his life. The third form of disbelief is when, even though a man recognizes in principle that he ought to follow the guidance of God, he refuses to believe in the prophets who were the means of communicating God's guidance to man. The fourth form of disbelief is to differentiate between one prophet and another, and out of parochialism and bigotry, to accept some prophets and reject others. The fifth form of disbelief is the refusal to recognize, either totally or partially, the teachings communicated by the prophets on God's behalf, concerning the beliefs, the principles of morality, and the laws for fashioning human life. The sixth form of disbelief is where a person theoretically accepts all that he should accept, but willfully disobeys God's ordinances and persists in this disobedience, and considers disobedience rather than obedience to God to be true principle of life. All these modes of thought and action are forms of rebellion towards God, and the Quran characterizes each of them as kufr. In addition, the term kufr is used at several places in the Quran in the sense of ingratitude, and in this usage it signifies the exact opposite of shukr, gratitude. Gratefulness consists in feeling thankful to one's benefactor and duly recognizing the value of his benevolence, in making use of it in a manner pleasing to its bestower, and in being utterly loyal to him. Ingratitude denotes, on the contrary, that the man concerned has either failed to recognize the bounty of his benefactor, or considers it to be either the outcome of his own power and ability, or else that of some other person's favor or intercession. Another form of ingratitude consists in failing to recognize fully the worth of the bounty received, and in either allowing it to be wasted or to be used in contravention of the will of the benefactor. This ingratitude includes infidelity and treachery towards the benefactor in disregard of his benevolence and kindness. This kind of kufr is known in ordinary language as ungratefulness.
خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنظَرُونَ
Thus shall they abide, and their chastisement shall not be lightened, nor shall they be given respite.
وَإِلَٰهُكُمْ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ
Your God is one God. There is no God but He, the Merciful, the Compassionate.